8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, everybody. It is time for another podcast.
Yay.
And what number is this? Podcast number 48?
I think it's 48.
It's 48 and we're not late.
Not tonight.
Yeah.
I'm excited about tonight. We're going to talk about one of my most favorite subjects. We have some new stuff to talk to people about heaven.
Awesome.
And so what is tonight's title going to be? Heaven's Blueprint.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm ready, everybody.
Sorry, I was out of the room when they were discussing that.
I am focused. Heaven's Blueprint. Did you know heaven had a blueprint? Of course, you know, God made everything, right? He didn't just barely think about it. He made great plans because heaven is his home. It's a world. It's a whole world. He designed that world, and he needed a place for himself, the angels, to live before we were ever put on this earth. Although we were a thought, not just in his head, but we were in his heart, actually.
Oh, that's
but
sweet.
We have some very focused things to talk about heaven tonight. It does have a blueprint, and God had a design for heaven itself, for our lives, for the future. So here we go. And we do have a scripture for this, because people are always saying, where is it said in the Bible?
Yes. Can you back that up with a scripture?
Yes. Matthew. How about Matthew 6? Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, which is coming now. Your will be done. This is it, on earth as it is in heaven. Right there. Those words in that famous scripture, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how is it in heaven? Because we've been saying that scripture for centuries, and most people don't have a clue what heaven is like, what goes on there, you know, how did God design it, what will we see when we get there. But because he has a blueprint, he had a plan. So that is our scripture we're using tonight to back up this whole podcast, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I have been to heaven many times. That was God's plan, not mine. Yes, I have pink hair. I know you can't see me right now, but I've had pink hair for quite a while. Jesus Christ, in person, asked me. No, I'm sorry. He didn't ask me. He told me.
Yeah,
it is necessary for you to have pink highlights in your hair in order to go and talk about heaven. And we want the world to know it's different. It's exciting, and it's a wonderful place. And guess what? I obeyed. This was back in 2006. I actually got the pink highlights in my hair towards the end of the year because, you know, people already thought it was strange. I've been different for a long time. When you get connected to heaven, you will be different. So God has a protocol, a blueprint, and a purpose for that world. It's a spiritual world. It's not a physical world. So yes, when you die and you've given yourself to Christ, your spirit man, which is not a little wispy thing, your spirit man, when it leaves this physical body dies. This is all free information. And that is what gets resurrected. The day the dead in Christ shall rise is your bodies. Because your spirit man is very much alive, living in a spiritual world, in a powerful, wonderful mansion that he designed just for you. You actually walk on the floors, use all the beautiful things he gave you on your property. So you have a literal life. And that's about the only way you can explain it. You have a literal life in heaven that is fantastic. And so I'm now going to talk about a few things just because some people always ask me, I thought you slept. I thought your soul slept. Your soul doesn't sleep because your soul is in your spirit man, which is in heaven. It says to be absent from the body. There you go. There's the word. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in heaven. So it is a literal wonderful place to go to. We're going to talk about how heaven operates because this is one of the things I was shown very early on in my ongoing journeys to heaven when the Father or the Holy Spirit would catch me up, take me someplace in heaven, allow me to see it, visit the places, taste the food, see how people lived, and then he would bring me right back down to the earth and put me back in my body, which I have no clue what that body was doing. So I knew a lot, but they actually have a way heaven operates. And the Father said, I'm going to show you how important the gift is that I put in each individual person before he sends you to this earth to have a body. Those gifts, which is a natural gift I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being a powerful intercessor or the fivefold ministry right now. I'm talking about if you are a drummer, if you're an architect, if you work in apparel, you know, if you're a farmer and you love it, if you grow roses and you're a florist, those type of gifts that everyone needs on this earth, you will use that same gift when you go to heaven later. And so God designed heaven to not be boring, be exciting, adventurous, because all those gifts in us come alive in heaven. And everybody uses that gift to bless everyone in heaven for free. How about that for a plan? What about that for a blueprint? Is that awesome? That's why he made us different. That's why he gave us different gifts. Because one day, you would actually use that gift. If you never get to use it here while you're alive, I promise you, when you go to heaven, your entire property and your mansion will be designed around the gift that he put in you. That's why there's restaurants. That's why there's roller coasters. That's why there's all kinds of powerful, amazing things to see in heaven. They have sports in heaven. I know people want to argue about that, but you know what? Athletes have gifts too, and God gave them to them, and when they go to heaven, they'll still get to use them.
I know what some people might be asking about the gentleman that passed away. What was this? Kobe Bryant?
Oh, Kobe Bryant, yes.
Did you get any revelation on that, Kat? I know that everybody, I met somebody the other day that asked me about that in the strangest place. Like, that's really hit the conscience of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you ever get to see anything?
You mean, is he in heaven using his athletic gift?
Is he playing with Jesus on the court?
He is still in sports. Trust me. Absolutely he is. And I really want to assure people that, yes, if you're a football player and that is your gift, you'll be a football player in heaven. A basketball player, a skier, whatever your gift is, they do have sports in heaven, or God wouldn't be fair if he says your gifts are without repentance and they're irrevocable. That means he's not taking that gift away from you. And your ultimate destiny is to be that gift in heaven. So even when children pass young, they actually did not miss their ultimate destiny, because they will grow very slow in heaven. They will still become that gift. They will still get to use that gift, which this brings a lot of peace and joy to parents when they hear this. But yes, he is still on the courts, but in heaven. And Jesus is the best athlete in all of heaven. Nobody can best him or beat him in football, in sports, in swords, whatever it is. He is the ultimate athlete, and he actually loves sports. So I am positive that he is there playing a game with Jesus Christ. That's what makes heaven so amazing, that you'll get to see all your loved ones do things they always wanted to do. Maybe they got in the little league. In heaven, you're in the big league. Trust me, no matter what it is, you're going to be in the highest league ever, right? And this is the thing that makes sports a little bit different in heaven. When I was taken there and shown a football game in heaven, you don't need any protective helmets or clothing, because nobody can get hurt. No one is going to get killed. Nobody can die. And let me tell you, you are so strong, even in your spiritual body. You're smart. Your gifts are enhanced. That means you can throw that football further, or that basketball further across a bigger court. Whatever it is going to be enhanced in every way. But every game is played for one person, and that is Jesus Christ. When I was taken to this football game, they had three scoreboards, which was very different than the earth. And here were these two teams playing the best they possibly could, because each team wanted to make more points for Jesus. It wasn't about them, even though they were using their gift and they were powerful, they were amazing. The team would cheer when they would make points for Jesus Christ, because the points would appear on the scoreboard. If this one team made a touchdown, their points went to their team, but immediately they were transferred to the third scoreboard, which was for Jesus, and he ended up with all the points. And whichever team won that game, they still have winners. Everybody's excited when they go to these games. Your own guardian angels are in the stands cheering you on. Let me tell you, they do the wave, and you've never seen anything if you've seen all these guardian angels doing the wave in the football stands, right? Your family, your friends are all there watching you play, and there's a huge celebration later, but guess who gets carried across the field?
I love this part.
Jesus Christ is the winner every time. He is the champion every time. And let me tell you, he loves to go to sporting events. So all you athletes out there, they don't play football in hell. That's just a little note for all of you out there listening. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you better give yourself to him, because you have a future in heaven. You have no future in hell. And that goes for anyone who's a restaurant owner, whether you make the best barbecue in the city, or you design some of the most beautiful clothing, or you grow the best vegetables. If you want to be able to use that in heaven, there's only one way there. That's through Jesus Christ. So that is the way God designed heaven to operate, that every person comes home to heaven and they use the gifts that he made them, like making the best donuts, you know, whatever it is. You will use those gifts. He gives you everything for free to do that. And everyone in heaven gets blessed. It's like one adventure after another. They even have treasure hunts. I do know that Henry Morgan, the ex-pirate, made it to heaven. Do you know what he's doing in heaven? He takes people on his great big ship over to an island in the Crystal Sea where he has buried treasures, and everybody gets to go on a supernatural treasure hunt. And I won't tell you what some of those treasures are, but that's what I meant when I said heaven is not boring. So God had a plan, and so that's how heaven operates. You will use your gift when you go home. Even children grow up, use their gifts. Mm-hmm. So nobody really misses their true destiny. The other thing I want to share a little bit about is a place that actually exists in heaven that I was taken to called Central Station. Now, it's not like the one in New York. It's not about a bunch of trains coming and going. It's not about even transportation. Central Station is like headquarters for heaven. And Jesus Christ is CEO, Chief Executive Officer over all of heaven. And in this place in heaven, it's called Central Station, what is sent to the earth are mantles that are for people, anointings for people, different gifts God is giving people for the first time, or increasing something they already have. And there's a way they send that down. It looks like beams of light being shot down from heaven to that person. And so, and this is the way you receive things from heaven itself. And I was taken there after Oral Roberts went home, Billy Joe Daughtry went home. This is an invitation to be a part of this place. And Jesus picks who goes there to work with him to send all these things down to the earth. And let me tell you, it is a great reward. And I saw Oral Roberts there. I saw Billy Joe Daughtry there. I've seen other people working here in Central Station in this fantastic place. Light shoots out of it, like blue light shoots out of this place. You can see over half of heaven. And that means every time the blue light shoots out, God has sent another mantle down to the earth. Is that fantastic? In this place that was taken inside, and when you hear me talk about heaven, you realize why certain things are on the earth. Sometimes the enemy wants to mock God or mimic God because he wants to still be God. And so one of the things I saw was this massive crystal, looked like a crystal ball. It probably was maybe, I don't know, 50 feet across. And it had this beautiful gold ring around it and a stand. And those who worked in Central Station could actually go up and look into this thing. And on it, it says the Crystal Sea, S-E-E. And on the inside of this beautiful thing, you could see like... there were like all kinds of lights going back and forth in it. You saw waves of things in it. But when you looked in there, when the Lord said, go look and see. Now, he has already seen the future. It says that God has been from the beginning to the end and the end to the beginning. So he knows all this. But those who come there to work with him, he lets them see certain things in the future. That's what the crystal see, S-E-E, is all about. They walk up, they get to look in this beautiful thing and see the future, either over people, over countries, over different places. And if you've been around any time, you do know that psychics and mediums use a crystal ball to show people the future. That is a mockery. That is not God doing that. That is Satan using other people to control other people with this. So Satan lived in heaven, remember? He was there for a very long time. He knows how God operates. He knows what's up there. So he'll take an image of something that is God's and he'll pervert it by using it in a wrong way on the earth. So the crystal balls, that is a mockery of what is actually in heaven in Central Station. So you now have some new revelation. I hope that makes you happy. So you have to understand, heaven is not just a real pretty place with angels sitting around on clouds dropping grapes in your mouth. They actually have a protocol and they have a blueprint on how heaven was designed and how it operates. So eventually, that scripture that says, on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there are powerful places. I've been to many places in heaven. They're all filled with the light of God, the presence of God. You can go anywhere in heaven and you're still in his presence. In your mansion, the glory just, just like a cloud goes in and out of your mansion all the time. Jesus comes to visit you. The apostles, the prophets will visit you in heaven. And many people know the cloud of witnesses it mentions about in Hebrews 12:1. To run your race, get rid of anything out of your life that gets in the way, because you have a great cloud of witnesses watching you. These are people from heaven watching you. Sometimes they will come down to earth like in a cloud. I've seen them in a few places, and I believe Heidi Baker, if you go to her site or try to look up there, she actually had captured a picture of the cloud of witnesses in her meetings.
Yeah, somebody in her meeting captured
She designed
it.
And built a place here in Florida where I live, not in the city, but built a place where she could have a school. I don't know if she still has it. This was a few years ago. But during, I believe it was a graduation of classes that had taken place. And in that, I literally saw a picture of this. If I can find it, we may post it somewhere on my site.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Literally, this cloud came down from heaven, and you actually see
faces.
Beings,
you can
faces
see faces and
of some of these cloud of witnesses that are came
and
to
and it's
watch.
Like above the crowd's head.
It's above the crowd's head. It's amazing. Yeah. So heaven really is a literal place where you live a literal life, but eventually on the earth, this earth will be divided into regions of light, where the glory is so powerful in these cities because of the believers operating in the authority Christ gave them. Living heaven culture on earth, that sin and sickness will not be able to even abide in those regions. And that will be the ultimate goal of on earth as it is in heaven. You will live, people will choose to live in these regions of light. So I hope you've enjoyed today's podcast. And now I'm going to let Jen or Chris ask a couple questions.
You want to do yours first?
Well, as always, I always bump into someone a little bit strange on my journeys, and I don't know how this guy, I think he might be part of the cloud of witnesses or something. So let's have a look.
Well, hello, my name is Robin Hood. Now, you obviously know what I'm going to ask you, but it's very important that I do. As a time traveler, I need to make use of this time to ask you a quick question. Is it okay for me to steal from the rich and give to the poor? I've been doing it for years now, and I kind of feel like the Lord's on my side. Am I right?
Okay, that was our stranger for the day.
That was Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, who, some people may not even know, okay, that may be beyond some people's heads back in the day, okay? This would be like in the Renaissance period on the earth, King Arthur and all of that type of stuff. They actually had a character in all of these books and stuff and dramas that were done. His name was Robin Hood. He really did, in these scenes and in these scenarios, he would rob from the very rich who lived without any care or concern for other people, and he would take that and give it to the poor people. So he just wanted to know. He felt like this person has the anointing of Robin Hood. This is what they were saying. And is it okay to steal from the rich and give to the poor? Well, number one, it's never good to steal. It's not a good idea to steal. However, I do know that sometimes in some situations, God opens doors for people to have something that probably belonged to the wicked rich, and you either inherited it or it was just given to you. And you may use that for good and for God all you want to, because we do know, just to back this up, so you don't think we've all gone wacky, but you know what? It's okay to laugh, too. You better be laughing, because you can't just be serious all the time. You got to laugh, too. Because the word says that there'll come a time when the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just and the righteous.
Yeah.
And that literally will be transferred to people like the wannabe Robin Hood. And they can use that wealth to help the poor, the needy, those doing things for God. So that's coming to the body of Christ, to the just and the righteous. The wealth of the wicked has not yet been released on this earth. And it will be fantastic.
I met somebody else this week, which was quite strange.
Why, hello there. My name is Doctor Who. And by the powers of podcasting, I have transformed myself from a TV character from the Doctor Who TV show into the podcast to ask you this one simple, profound question. Are you ready, Kat?
I'm ready.
Good. The question is... is time travel possible? Thank you for answering this question. Until next time, goodbye.
That is a very good question.
That is a good question.
Have you ever heard of Doctor? Have you ever watched Doctor Who, Kat?
The only thing I know about Doctor Who is in the old James Bond series.
Oh.
It was about the spies. There actually was a character called Doctor Who.
Well, Doctor Who's he travels through time in a TARDIS, which is like an old phone box in England, and he turns up in different times and he solves a crime and then he comes back. So that's who Doctor Who is, but he did want to come here and find out whether he could actually be a time traveler.
Well, I do happen to know that because God, which we said at the beginning, we're talking about this, God has been from the beginning to the end and the end to the beginning. That definitely qualifies as time travel. So God's been in the past. He's been as far into the future as you can get. He's been there. And yes, sometimes he does take people to those places. I don't know about Doctor Who, but I do know people personally that have traveled through time. I myself... now I'm really throwing myself out there. I traveled through time. That was not my choice, but I didn't say no. And I have been taken back and shown things. I was shown heaven before Lucifer even fell. I've been taken back in time on the third day in hell when Christ wasted principalities and powers. I do know, and I've seen things in the future, but I do actually know people. And this is true, although it's not something that's broadcast, maybe not even known. But God does have special people. He does, for whatever reason he has, because I haven't discussed this with God. But these people are people that are valid people that I can't give you their name because they're covert right now. They actually do go back briefly in time to do something. And that's their own special assignment. And then God, when he's done, he brings them back. So I cannot say... I can't sit here and say that's impossible to do because it's not impossible. The word says all things are possible with God. Now, I will also say this, that the enemy does things very similar. He makes a mockery of certain places and takes people and tries to convince them, but it's always for something that's evil. So if it's not evil and God has made a decision to do something, I would say yes. There's a very good chance that God could have you travel through time as an assignment to reveal something to you so that people would know revelation on it. And when you serve a mighty God who's made everything that there ever is, then nothing is impossible with him. That's my answer.
Awesome.
Do you have a question, Jen?
Who did you meet from?
Or does anyone... there have a question from Facebook or podcast or YouTube.
We're going to go to the last podcast that we did, and I'm going to ask you a question. I can't pronounce the person. It's not really a name.
Is this one of their...
It's whatever they use for their podcast name.
Okay. One of their character-generated names.
It says, B-R-N-2-2. S-O-R.
Oh, I know them.
Oh, you do not.
That's the distant cousin of BRNS26318.
That sounds like a droid.
I know it does.
Okay.
Well, I thought this was, since you're talking about heaven, I thought it was very interesting that they asked this question, because there are a lot of people out there that just, they like alone time, and they don't want anybody around them, you know. They just
Which is hard to find on this earth.
And so they said, I'll just read it.
So this is about in heaven, yes, right? Not on the earth.
Can you always be alone in heaven? No one bothering you, even God, if you want.
No.
So I'm sure that they...
I can tell right now that this person does not know God.
Yeah.
Because if they knew God and they were filled with Him, their greatest desire within their entire being would be to be with Him.
Yeah.
And there isn't anyone in heaven that doesn't want to be with Him. So number one, you can't escape the presence of God. Mm-hmm. It's His home.
It flows in and out of everything.
It is in everything. He causes everything to be alive. The trees are alive. The plants are alive. Everything, your building that you live in is like has life in it because He's there. If He wasn't there, you wouldn't be there yourself. So we're going to talk about that first. That He is everywhere and your greatest desire, because especially Jesus becomes your number one. Everyone in heaven just adores Jesus and wants to be with Jesus. So no one would ever want to be away from Him. But on the other side, there's beautiful places you can go to be alone. You can enjoy the beauty of heaven, the serenity of heaven, the song of heaven itself, because even heaven, the world, has a song in it. So there are places you can go to relax, just enjoy the it's never silent, but you having time, alone time, yeah, for you to contemplate, to worship, or just to enjoy what is around you. Those places do exist, yeah, in heaven, but you will always be in His presence.
Yeah, and He made all those amazing things for us to do, and but most people just want to stay in the throne room.
People,
and He's always like, go, have fun.
That's where you first go when you get to heaven, is you're, yeah, welcomed in the throne room. He gives rewards out right there from the throne, the Father does, and Jesus is right there too. So they celebrate your homecoming, and you're right, people don't want to leave. Schaumbach was there for quite a while, let me tell you, because every time I was taken for like several years, he was still in the throne room.
Yeah,
and people who knew him would understand why. Because it's a fantastic, amazing, beautiful place to go. But if you don't know the heart of God, if you don't know the great love He has for you and how overwhelming and consuming His presence is, it just takes over your whole being when you go home to heaven. You don't want to be apart from Him. And I have heard people in heaven say that, I don't ever want to be apart from Him. So the more you get to know Him on the earth, the hungrier you'll become. You will become, even on the earth, to be with Him. And you will be happy, trust me.
Yes.
You will be filled with joy and celebration, because that's what God is. He is
life. I guess there's people that don't like to be around other people. And that's the thing I think that guy is asking.
Yeah.
Is that a male, right?
I don't know.
We don't
because
know because of the weird name.
The weird name.
But
so,
it's almost like some people are really introverted, not social, have like that their entire life here,
yeah,
is kind of set up so that they feel uncomfortable interacting with someone. And I think maybe that person is kind of coming from the point of view that they don't feel like they've had their heart like warm towards people so much that they'd want to be with them for eternity, and maybe,
yeah,
it even
so they're
scares
probably,
them,
yeah,
right?
So they're probably thinking, they're either thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be overwhelmed with all these family that I've never met, and blah blah blah. Or maybe they're thinking, maybe when I finally get to heaven, I'll have peace and quiet. And I could just...
Yeah, right.
And it could be either one of those.
I mean, laugh out loud at that whole thing, because having been there so many times, you will not feel that way when you get there.
But there are places, like, I know you...
In your mind down here,
I know,
you can't...
Because
now I'm being real honest.
You can't think with
your
fleshly
mind. In your natural mind.
Natural mind, yeah.
In a physical world with all the stuff going on around you, you know, there's traumas and there's trials and there's people who never are quiet. There's places you You look to be alone, but there's always something going on. You hear the stuff in the news. That's not always the best thing to listen to the news. If you listen to all the news and you listen to everybody around you saying all these different things, you don't know who to believe, what is right, what is not right. And then you say, when I go to heaven, dear God, if there's millions of people there, is it going to be like that? The answer is no. Because everybody still respects you. Everybody loves you. You will love everybody in heaven.
Yeah, you just don't have those.
You can't.
You don't have those inhibitions, right?
You don't have those feelings.
Like, it's
yeah.
like a strange kind of
You won't
like,
feel
openness.
Stressed. Yeah, you
there
won't
will be
feel
no
stressed,
stress,
no pressure.
No trauma, no pressure. Yeah. Joy, celebration, life. There are places to have a little bit of peace.
Like,
but I will tell you this. Because of the life of God there, which you are now being invaded with, you're not on this world yeah. anymore. And life is totally different living there than it is on this earth. You will be so happy you're there. You'll love the people you never thought you could love. Even your neighbor who is annoying, if they make it to heaven, you're going to like them. So you
even if
to.
You shot them.
Yeah, well, if you shot them and they, you know, you were forgiven for that. Hopefully you don't
yes.
shoot them. But
because they shot you, you would love them.
There's no fear in heaven. There's no anger in heaven. There's no violence
no
in heaven.
No unforgiveness.
There's not even regrets. There's
no
unforgiveness.
No doubt.
There's no bashing. There's no trashing like they have all over the internet
yes.
right now. None of that exists because the enemy's not there, right? So you have to get your mindset changed and understand that if Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It'll be the most perfect place you ever could conceive in your mind. And you will love it. And you will love everybody there. Because you don't have those same emotions. Your soul is so operates so differently in heaven.
Yeah.
Because it is not bombarded with the garbage and the junk and the meanness and all the other stuff of people on this earth. That stuff isn't there.
One thing to reassure some people, though, because I remember you telling a story, Kat, where you saw Peter and he was off fishing somewhere, right?
Yes.
And he was kind of on his own into it. So you're going to be allowed to be into what you're into, but then you're also going to be super excited. So maybe, you know, there's like different character types as well, but you get to be it, but you don't feel any pressure and you just love people and... But you still go off sometimes.
You will invite
back.
People. You will meet new people. People invite you places. But of course, and I have seen Peter. He's always fishing. So he loves fishing. Sometimes he has people with him. My husband said he will be his new best friend because my husband is a fisherman. And I think especially, you don't look around for people that like the same things you do. You go to a certain place where they all love that one thing that you love. And so you'll meet new people and enjoy what you like to do.
Which adds mm-hmm. to the feeling of like you're not wanting to be alone because you're doing everything that you love to do and
yes.
with people
yeah.
that love to do it.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Sense. Yeah. It does. Do you want to do one more? One more quick one. Okay. This is from Sandra. I got this off of Facebook. And she just said, can you please tell us if it makes a difference what side an angel stands on, right side or left side or behind? She said she saw an angel around 5 years ago, and it seems to be it stays more on her left side and in front of her, and she just didn't understand if there's a significance.
I don't know that there's a significance about where it stands. I think the point is that if you are allowed to see it especially, 99% of the time, that is God trying to reassure you that you do have somebody watching over you, somebody who guards you that he sent. Most of the time, because I'm a seer, I see people's guardian angels standing behind them.
Yeah.
Most all of them are much taller and bigger than the people are. Sometimes they will stand in front of you, and especially in certain places you didn't expect. And sometimes what they're doing, if they stand in front of you, is keeping something thoughts from the enemy or different things from the enemy by reaching you from in your thought life or even in your own person physically. Sometimes they're defending you and you don't even know what it's about. You don't understand, because if angels are sent, your guardian angel is sent at the time of your conception, not when you're born. They're waiting outside the mother for you to be born. So that's how much associated they are and connected with you. Sometimes people have more than one angel, and you could actually have one in the front, one in the back, and one on either side. And sometimes you're seeing different angels, a different one standing in those places. If you have a really divine call on your life, or maybe a very key appointment in your life for even just a season, God will send more angels. But most of the time, the guardian angels I see with people are either standing in them or standing behind them. I do know several people that through their whole life, their guardian angel would stand on one side specifically and always had their hand on that person's shoulder, even if they never felt it. There's been times when my own guardian angel would just take his wings and wrap them around me if I've been through maybe a hard time or maybe a trauma in my family somewhere, something was going on. And they were very compassionate. And sometimes you don't even know this, and sometimes even your worst days, your own angel has his wings wrapped around you.
Oh, that's nice.
Because they really care about you. So wherever they are standing, if the point from God is this, that there is one there watching.
I've got an add-on question, which I've been thinking about, just to add it on quickly, Kat, if you don't mind. So, you know when someone prays in tongues, and then their guardian angels might be nearby, does your guardian, like, what's the purpose of, like, I had this situation, like, yesterday, where I felt like inside of me, like, I was praying really quickly in tongues, and it was almost like, under my breath, I hardly had to move my mouth, but I felt like it was doing something so important. But then you talk about our guardian angels as well, but how does the two connect? How do we do something and then our guardian angels do something? Do they hear tongues when we pray in tongues? Do they understand it? Do you know the answer to that? Is there like a connection between what they can do and when you when you build yourself up in that way, or how do you have any ideas?
Tongues have several different purposes. I will say it's one of the most important things you have as a believer. And a lot of people, they still don't even teach that in church, that you should ask or invite Holy Spirit to indwell you.
Yeah.
And the speaking in tongues things, this is the number one important thing about it. Satan can't understand it.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He has no idea what you're praying about. A lot of times he will want to mess up what you're praying about, or he'll try to make it look like it's not going to happen. But when you pray in tongues, it is a direct communication with heaven itself. Your guardian angel absolutely understands those tongues. Holy Spirit totally understands those tongues. And it brings more response, or a quicker response from heaven when you speak in tongues. But the thing is this, it causes total confusion in the enemy. And if he's been beating you up or battering you about things, and you pray in tongues, even lightly like you did, it releases an immediate message to God that this is what you're saying. I'm in agreement with you, God, on whatever you want. No matter what this is about, I'm agreeing with you. And when you get that agreement,
so your spirit gets with the program when your brain wasn't ready with it. Right.
Even when your brain wasn't connected.
So maybe the angels knew what was going on, but
you don't even have to know what you were praying about.
Right.
It is a power prayer that connects you immediately to heaven, and you get an immediate response or reaction. Something is going to happen against the enemy when we pray in tongues. So number one, hell doesn't know what you're praying. No demon knows, not even Satan can understand tongues. But the guardian angels can, Holy Spirit can, and heaven can. So it is a powerful way to pray. If you don't understand, sometimes if things are coming against you and you don't even know, just start praying in tongues, because that is the perfect prayer. That's what the Bible says.
I know it didn't make sense to me because I was in my car and I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, you don't have to understand it.
And that's like the key. That might be the key, because like some people might be sat there going, well, I don't really understand where my guardian angels are. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's John, Fred, or the Archangel Gabriel around me. I don't really see it all. Uh-huh. But I know that sometimes when I'm praying in tongues, it sort of releases something, connects to something. So basically, it's like get your mind out of the way and just go with it. That's kind of what you're saying, right?
It is your spirit connecting with heaven in a communication that hell cannot understand. So one of the most powerful prayers you'll ever pray will be in tongues.
Okay.
And sometimes it activates your angel. Absolutely. If that's another thing you were asking, it absolutely will activate your angel into doing stuff.
So that's your homework for this week on the
Podomatic. Ask for it. Say, Holy Spirit, I choose as an act of my will to invite you to indwell me and give me instruction and direction and be my friend.
Yeah.
Because Holy Spirit is my best friend, and he will talk to you all the time.
He will, too. I start every day out by saying...
And I do still speak in tongues. I do pray in tongues myself.
I start out every day by saying, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to get my attention.
Oh, that's a and good it, one right
it,
there.
It works. It works, and he will get your attention.
Now,
I have a question on with speaking in tongues, because I know a lot of people, I, for one, have never spoken in tongues, but growing up in Assemblies of God, and we were always told that you couldn't have the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues. But I know from personal experience that that is not true, and...
Because you invited him, right?
Well, I didn't actually. Through an experience that I had where I was given a word to give to somebody and I was refusing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit, who is no respecter of person.
He's no respecter, but he
just
invade your life.
Invaded my life, and I ended up by having to give this word to a person because it was very important pertaining to their life. And since then, since that experience, my spirit realm activities have increased. I see more, I hear more, I hear him clearly. I hear him all the time.
Same.
I've gotten many words for people before in the past, and so I know he is on the inside of me.
I do want
why
to make...
I've never spoken in tongues, I do not know that. But I know it will happen.
You may have done it in your sleep
someday.
And not even know. I will make this comment. Because you have served the Lord your life. You were just born into a family that had God. And for me, it was the most natural thing in my life to know the Father, to know the Son, and to know Holy Spirit. Now, I actually, when I was 18, I actually did. At a meeting, just a separate meeting that happened downtown, I invited the Holy Spirit to indwell me, and he just invaded me. And I began to speak in tongues. I do know this, that it's an evidence. That doesn't say you can't have him. There's no way that says you cannot have him if you don't speak in tongues. It says it's an evidence you received him. And so you need to understand that, people, because there's places in the Bible where he invaded people.
Yeah, he invaded me.
He invaded people who were very connected to Jesus. I know whole congregations that got indwelt with the Holy Spirit, just invaded the whole church and invaded people, and they began to speak in tongues. So they didn't actually say, but for people who are focused, you read the book of Acts, number one. If you're focused and you want Holy Spirit and you don't know any other way, you actually can say, I choose my will. I invite you to indwell me. I want you. He's a third member of the Trinity. You know, you want the Holy Spirit. And just because, and I'll probably get all kinds of things about this, just because, and that happens a lot, by the way, that's another whole podcast to talk about the people.
Yes,
who,
it is.
The coolest, precious people we pray for that bash. Anyway, that's not this right now. I know this from the Holy Spirit. If he has even an inch of permission, even if you don't speak it, he's invading you. And if you have a divine, if you have a destiny, we all have a destiny with God to share the gospel. It says so. And sharing the gospel actually should be an adventure. It shouldn't be some hard burden that some people think it is. It's supposed to be an adventure with God. It's not your job to force people to receive Christ. It's not. It's your job to share Christ.
And you're
give
supposed to be writing books called Adventures in God, Jen.
Adventures in heaven. So this is the bottom line about Holy Spirit. If you don't have him, ask him to come. But there's going to come a point that it says in the Bible, there'll come a day when the Spirit of God will touch every
flesh.
All flesh on the earth. So it will happen if you're a believer, you love Jesus Christ, you want God's plan for your life. Don't be surprised if you don't feel the pressure of the Holy Spirit invading you till you feel like you're going to explode. Just say, I accept you. But the important thing is this. He's there. Jesus said, I'm going home to heaven because I have to send
another
who will come, who will be a guide.
And it's not Bob Jones, is it? It's not the spirit of Bob Jones.
Not Bob Jones. His name is Holy Spirit.
Oh, that's the one we're looking for.
And Holy Spirit knows everything all at the same time, everywhere, and will do all kinds of amazing things for you and with you. So just go for it, everybody. Because Jen does get to prophesy. She hears God strongly. The Holy Spirit invaded her life, and she didn't say no to him.
Well, it makes sense now that you say if he gets a little...
Even a tiny bit.
Because I remember that night that it happened, and I was laying there shaking, feeling like I was going to combust into flames.
Yes,
arguing, saying, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
You didn't want to give that word.
And then finally, at like 4 a.m. in the morning, I went, okay. And then that's when I literally felt... Like,
invading.
And as soon as it hit me, the word just started coming, and I just lay there and cried.
Pray for the people listening to the podcast that have never
experienced
it.
So you did say yes.
I did. I said, okay, fine, I will give the word.
In the Bible where it said the Holy Spirit fell on people, it said it all the time, right? It said it in the Bible all the time. So,
so pray for people, Jen.
Get ready, all you Baptist to be invaded if you aren't already. Holy Spirit loves you. He wants to be a part of your life. And anyone else who doesn't have Holy Spirit as part of your doctrine, he's out there. He's going to get you. So why don't you just pray for people to know him?
Okay. All right. I just pray that the Holy Spirit will invade all who are listening to this podcast and just... empower them and uplift them and encourage them and just give them a boost of confidence that they need to flow and operate and hear the Holy Spirit clearly and just seek him out and ask him and tell him you are willing to obey and he will come.
And right now we both choose. We're going to hold our hands out towards this recorder.
Yes.
And right now we impart.
Impart.
The power of God.
The power of God.
The presence of God.
The presence of God.
The life of God.
The life of God.
And Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit.
To indwell you.
To indwell you.
Say, I receive it.
Receive it.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Woo-hoo!
Bye.